If you're thirsty for big business ideas and lessons learned from people who have started up or started over, you've come to the right place. We've got shots of inspiration mixed with a few ounces of advice, delivered straight up by movers and shakers in Saskatoon's business community. So pull up a chair. This round's on us. Welcome to Chamber on Tap.
Top of the afternoon to you, Trina.
Good day, T-Bone.
It's so nice to just get everybody back into the room.
Right?
It feels like we haven't seen each other
and
in a while.
And such a full room for our guest tonight.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, Veronique.
Yeah, Veronique Lowen from Verilingo Communications.
She knows a lot of people. There's a lot of people that are fans of hers, mm-hmm. So tonight should be pretty interesting.
Oh, it's going to be so fun. I'm so excited.
All right, let's have it.
So little do you know, did you know, it sort of seems serendipitous that you leave and people were ready for you without realizing that this was going to be such a shift.
Right. My previous career probably prepared me for what came, because when you work up north, so Orano, their mines are up north, their exploration camps are all over northern Canada. When you work up north, you have to learn to communicate a little bit differently. So when you're on site, you're on site. It's kind of like being in the office in Saskatoon in a way. But when people are out in the field, in the middle of nowhere, in the bush somewhere, you need to learn to communicate differently. When you're in Nunavut and there's no internet, you know, wherever they are, like, you really, really learn to communicate effectively, faster. And so all of that prepared me for what I'm doing, or for what I did during COVID, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Were these all clients that were new to you, or did you pull from relationships that you had made over your last 25 years with the company?
You know, a little bit of both, but I must say, you guys, I mean, you're all in this room, and many of you know each other, and those that don't, I hope you get to know each other. But I must say, I had no idea before I left on my own, how powerful my relationship and my network was. I mean, I knew a lot of people because, again, the extreme extrovert in me can't walk in a room without shaking hands with 50 people and then remembering odd things about each of them. But whatever, I digress. But the thing is, I had no idea how powerful that would be for me, because people remembered me, remembered what I did, and started calling. And so some of my clients, yes, were brand new, but many, even if they were new, they had been referred by people I know. And so a room like this, it's so powerful. Like, we tend to underestimate the connections we make, and we don't generally realize when we might need so-and-so, or, you know, pull so-and-so, but I can tell you that more often than not, I will refer any one of you in the room. Like, that's what I like to do. I can refer Catherine, or Sarah, or what. Like, I get to know people, and then we make those connections. And we all have that capacity, that ability to do that. It's super strong, super, super strong. And so I think, so if we go back to communication, being authentic in who you are, and you don't have to be an extremely extrovert to do that, to nurture those relationships. You know, you can be introverted and still nurture relationships. I have many friends that are introverted and that have great networks. But it's really about that. It's about being authentic in the way you present yourself and the way you communicate. And so that you can develop those relationships, you know, and people then call on you because, I don't know, maybe you touch them somehow.
Mm-hmm. Well, you clearly established yourself as an expert through your years of work, and maybe without even realizing, established yourself as a brand, so of your own, one that was trusted and respected. So when you did step out on your own, it was just natural that people relied on you. So, yeah, super important. We all have to rely on those relationships that we make along the way.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. Yeah. But as quickly as we make them, we can also burn them. Mm-hmm. And so, again, I think it's important to be true to who we are in every facets of what we do. So, you know, Veronique, that you see sitting here is the same as you will meet at Safeway tomorrow or wherever, you know, because you can burn those relationships really, really quickly. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. If you see me at Safeway, I might be in sweatpants. Otherwise, probably the same person as sitting here.
Yeah. And when you talk about brand, you know, this is communicating to you as well. Mm-hmm. So if you know me, I'm always wearing flamboyant clothes, you know, bright colors. That's also part of my brand. That's also part of who I am. Mm-hmm. It's not fake by any means. That's how I am. You know, I do very little just black, you know? I mean, I can, but where's the fun in that? Sorry, Catherine. Tracy.
No, I noted that about you when I had first met you as well. You were just in this lovely yellow outfit. Oh, and so yes. I remember that. And you're right, it's just is part of your, you know, colorful personality. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about Veralingo. Let's talk about what you do, what the business looks like, who your clients are, and how you can help all of us to be better communicators.
So Veralingo, translation and communication strategy, because yes, there is strategy behind communicating well. It's one of those professions, I always feel like everybody thinks they know it and they can do it for you, except they don't have the strategy behind it. So everybody, same with social media, everybody thinks they can do it, and I'm no expert on social media, let me tell you, but again, there's strategy behind it. But everybody feels because they dabble or because they wrote a speech once, they're a communicator. And so it's one of those professions where I find that often I have to educate. Yeah, actually doing this way, it may work for you for 5 minutes, but are we talking 5 minutes here or are we talking sustainability in your business, right? And so it's about being strategic in our communication, whether it's internally with our employees, externally with our clients and consumers, or with our partners, vendors, contractors, consultants. They all require communications that may be a little bit different. You don't talk to your clients the same way as you talk to your consultant, the same way as you talk to your employees. First of all, they all have different understanding of your lingo. And second of all, they all have different motives. One of my biggest say to people is, it's not about you. We all know that. We all say that expression and never live it. But truly, it's not about you. So when we talk about communication, it's about the other person. But people always want to sell their stuff and talk about themselves or their product or their service. But it's not about that. It's about what you're doing for the other person. It's about what your service, product, stuff does for that person, not the reverse. Mm-hmm. But people always approach advertising or that sort of thing, marketing, from their perspective. So part of my role is teaching my clients, it's not about you. It's about the person you're serving, right? Or the product you're delivering. For me, so when you ask me who my clients are, I would say small, medium-sized enterprise, particularly, so small, medium-sized enterprise on the internal com piece, because often small, medium-sized enterprise don't have an internal communications department or communications person, and so they need that help, but don't necessarily want to have an extra FTE, full-time equivalent, right? And so I'm that person that they call and say, this is what we're looking at, what do you think, let's strategize that, blah, 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 you know? Or we have a big announcement to make with our employees, we're a little bit worried about how it's gonna be accepted. Okay, I'll come in and I'll help you strategize how we deal with that particular issue. And then, you know, and then how we make a plan for the future, that sort of thing. So small, medium-sized enterprise, that's generally what they're after. Corporate world, they have their own communications entities. But they need that extra pair of eyes, that external view, that critique from somebody who actually understands what they're up to, but can say, hey, did you think of that? Actually, why wouldn't you do this way, you know, with the understanding. So the strat planning, I would say, moment before they launch things, generally they'll bring me in and say, hey, can you take a look at this? And are we missing anything? You know, are we on the right path? Is there anything else you would add or remove or whatever? So I do a lot of that. Mm-hmm. And then just bring bench strength. Sometimes they have big projects and they need an extra pair of hands or an extra typist, like writing whatever, annual reports or something. So then I'll do that. I'll give them that extra pair of hands mm-hmm. to write an annual report, for example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, then, super important because we do get wrapped up in our perspective within the business. So to have somebody from the outside looking in as playing the role of consumer or mm-hmm. playing the role of expert in grammatical presentation, for example, right. is super important.
Yeah, it's important to have somebody else to review your stuff. And sometimes to play the role, as you say, of that, you know, I'm the non-expert here, and I just read your annual report or your brochure. Let's not even talk about an annual report. Let's talk about a brochure for your consumer. And I just read it, and I have no clue what I just read. Because you wrote it with jargon, and you wrote it with... I don't know. It's like, who wrote that? Some engineer. No offense, you guys, if there's engineers here. But, you know, and it's... So I spent 25 years in the mining industry with 75 to 80% of them being engineers, and they rewrite the way they talk and think, which is engineer speak. And I'm like, oh, my God, you guys, that will never fly. We can't push this out. So... It's that. It's having that view of the layperson, but with the understanding of what will fly as a communications person, you know, that you may not have if you ask, you know, your spouse to read it. They may not get it, so you'll get that part, but you might not get the fix. Whereas I'll read it, may not get it, but we'll help you with the fix. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So this sounds like an awful lot of work that you're undertaking, and you are a one-woman show. Like,
yeah.
You know, your company is you. I want to talk about how you keep up and also your decision to keep yourself at the helm and only you. So mm-hmm. often we think of, you know, how successful is a business based on how large it's grown? How many employees do they have? How many locations? But in your instance, you are by choice a solo operation, and I'd mm-hmm. like to hear why.
Yeah. So lots of work. I say yes too often. I know that. My family will tell you I'm a workaholic. Okay, that's fine, fair. If I'm in town, I'm working. That's why I go out of town fairly often. You know, you'll see, if you follow me, you'll see that every 6 to 8 weeks I'm gone somewhere because that's what I do. I work every day, every single day. That's my work-life balance. Doesn't work for everybody, but for me it does. Mm-hmm. I work and then I go away. And so that works for me. I've had to... you know, divorce a few clients, because it's like, well, I have too much work and I don't really like you.
So. On the chopping block, okay.
You know, I'm honest about that.
Sure.
You know, if I can't take your work and I'm not, you know, I will say that. I'll say, you know what, it's not really my gig, I'm sorry, but let me refer you to somebody. And then I generally refer somebody else. I don't leave you hanging. I'll refer you to somebody that I think will jive with you. So I do that. And then I really don't want to grow. I have no desire to have employees. I've been around that block. I don't want employees. I don't want to be responsible for somebody's paycheck. Let's put it this way. You know, I have no desire to do that. I'm pretty happy being responsible for my own paycheck. And that's not how I view success. For me, success is not having 20 or 100 or one employee. That is not success to me. For me, I just I don't want to depart basically from what I do. So I love everything I do. I do. I love sitting there and strategizing. I love writing. I love somebody bringing me their story and saying, I gotta do this article and I have no idea where to start. I'm like, let me give you a draft and then you make it your own. You know, like, I love that. I love when somebody says, you know what, I need to translate this brochure because we're entering the French market or whatever. Love all of that. If I hire some people, now I'm managing relationships within the team, I have to figure out payroll, I have to sell so that I can give them a paycheck. No desire. Because then all of a sudden, why I left Orano and decided to do the pieces that I loved in my corporate job, that's what I took with me in my Verolingo. And so if I start growing a team, now I'm managing the team and I'm out there beating the pavement to sell our services so that I make sure I can pay their paycheck. And now I'm not doing the work, which is what I love. Like, I'm doing this because I love the work. And so, yeah, I'm not growing. Mm-hmm.
I love that. That's very honest and it makes total sense. Makes me wonder, well, geez, I could have just, stayed a one-woman ultrasound and the world would have looked different.
Well, it all depends, right? Yeah. It makes sense. And you know what? It also might be a reflection of my age. So I leave Orano, I'm whatever I am. I'm 55.
Today? Like not today.
February 9th.
Oh, well, almost, okay.
Almost. But you know what? Maybe it's also a reflection of my age. Because had I done that maybe at 30, I might sing a different tune. I might want to build my empire, you know? I have no desire at this point in my life, you know? No.
Yeah, but it's honest, to do so would take away from the things that you love, which is your work. So,
exactly.
Yeah, no, good for you. Yeah. On that, can you give us a little bit of inside knowledge in terms of, you know, some do's and don'ts, tricks and tips, if we want to talk a little bit about the do's and don'ts of communicating with your team? We'll have to maybe pick some sort of a scenario, right? So delivering good news is often easy. What about those hard conversations
those
that
hard
you have
conversations?
To have?
Well, it depends what kind of hard conversations. I mean, there's not a one-size-fits-all for hard conversations. And it depends, you know, I don't know, you're doing a massive layoff. Hopefully not, you guys. Hopefully we're rebounding. But if you have to do a massive layoff, for example, and assuming you're not federally regulated, because that's a whole other ball game, as far as when you can announce and how many people you can announce to at what time, blah 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 blah. It's a whole different ball game. But if you're doing a normal, what we'll call a normal layoff, and you're gonna lay off, say, 10, 20 people, you want to strategize that. You want to plan when you're gonna do it, how you're gonna do it. Who will be in the room, what kind of services you may or may not be able to provide. You want to have all of that in place. Obviously, it's now the communication role works in tandem with your HR, if you have an HR person or an HR consultant that you bring in to do those kind of thing. But it has to be planned out. The way you're going to say that and execute that has to be planned out. And so I would say it's the kind of thing that if you're a small family enterprise, and you know every single employee by name, clearly you're not sending them an email, right? Mm-hmm. But I've seen that. I've seen people, so they were going to send an email. I'm like, what? So this person has worked for you for the last 15, and you're going to send them an email saying we're closing shop? I don't think so. So, you know, we strategize putting people in the room, having the conversation. Who else is in the room at that point, you know? And sometimes it's hard. I've seen CEOs cry in those instances because these people are their family, you know? And so we plan those kind of things. I always say I'm one of those you rip the bandage off. And so I start with empathy, rip the bandage, finish with empathy. So I always do a sandwich or, you know, a three-part message.
The empathy sandwich. Yeah. Okay, I like that.
And so you start by letting people know the empathy at the beginning when you're giving bad news is about, you may talk about your feelings and letting them know that this is not easy and it's tearing you apart. And then you let them know how that's going to affect them. So that's the bandage ripping. And then the empathy again is like, we're going to be here together through this. And I will help you however I can. And some entities can do great things, you know, try and relocate you or help you find work or whatever. And some can't, not financially or not because they don't have the capacity in any way, shape, or form. And so that's also okay to say, you know, to say, I'll help you the way I can. It may not be much, but it'll be what I can do, right? So those kind of instances, I would say, are tough, but they need to be planned. Often people don't plan them enough. It takes time. And then deciding on the timing. We always think about the timing in terms of the bank and the this and the, you know, payroll or whatever, but you actually need to also think about the timing for people. Do you rip the bandage at Christmas? Before Christmas? During Christmas? After Christmas? 6 months after? Because you don't want... When is the right time? So I remember once, I'll use an example of the Rano, we were laying off 200 people, and we needed to lay them off in the spring. And we knew that, and so we're planning. And so we are going to lay them off in May, well, between April and June, essentially. And so we made the decision to announce the layoff beginning of December. And I remember an article that slammed us for announcing the layoff at the beginning of December. And at the same time as this article slams us, my inbox is full of 200 emails of people saying, thank you for letting us know. Because I didn't go and incur debt over Christmas. I was able to explain to my kids why we can't go to Disney World like we had planned, but we'll go someday, rather than having to wait and then, you know, tell them later. And so it was, timing was of the essence. And even though externally people felt we were harsh for doing that just before, you know, a month before Christmas, the employees themselves were thankful because we prevented them from incurring debt. We gave them time to think about it, you know, over the Christmas period. You know, we established support services for them during that whole period. So over a period of essentially 6 months, they had support to talk to people and then to help, you know, those that wanted to leave right away. There were some. We helped them do that. Yeah. So I think it's something that people don't plan enough, but that they should. Yeah. On the good side, on the good story, I still do the sandwich. I like the sandwich. Communications, so if you ever work with a communication person, you will realize that often they do things in three. We love three. Right? And so I love the sandwich, even when it's good news, you know. I always do... Tell them the good news right off the bat. Don't, you know, tell them the good news. Tell them why it's good news. And then tell them the good news again. And that brings me to repeat. Mm-hmm. So we talk about, you know, another tip would be repeat, repeat, repeat. When you think you've said it enough, say it again. And then say it again. And then say it again. And then say it again. Like, you know, I'm sure you've all read somewhere that, you know, you should say things 7 times for people to remember, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, that's bullshit. Say 20 times. Really, like, I mean, really, really. It's people will hear something and they might connect with it, but not the first time. They will connect over time. I mean, if I say, you're great, or they're great, you know it's Tiger. Like, that's because you grew up with it since you were 2 years old. You're great, right? And so we all know that because we've heard it, right? It's repetition, repetition, repetition. And so if any one of you work with radio, for example, you always feel like they're trying to sell you something or upsell you because they're like, well, we got to do, you know, 200 messages of 30 seconds over the next 6 months. They're actually right. You need the repetition. It's hearing it again and again. When somebody can actually come to you and tell you your brand or your jingle or whatever, or your last ad, now you know they've heard it pretty much enough. Mm-hmm. But until then, repeat. And it's the same with your employees. You know, particularly if you're giving them news, whether they're bad or good, if you're giving them something that's brand new, you need to repeat and repeat again. So you put it in the newsletter, you put it in the email, you put it at the end of the paycheck, like on the pay stubs. Do people still do pay stubs? I don't know. Anyways, you put it at the bottom of the pay stubs. Like, if you want them to know it, remember it, you repeat, and repeat again. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Good messaging. Yeah, that's a very good take home. I think mm-hmm. we do take it for granted that we'll say it maybe once or twice, and then we don't want to feel like we're being the tiger in the workforce. But if we want it to stick, coming from the expert, then that is definitely what we'll do, mm-hmm. drive it home.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so those rules are the same whether it's pure communication, I would say, or marketing. Mm-hmm. Those rules apply across that board. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Veronique. You're so inspiring, and I appreciate all of your mindful and genuine answers to all of these questions and for sharing your stories with us. Let's give her a round of applause here. Thank you. Woo.
This has been a distilled version of Chamber on Tap, a live event hosted monthly by the Greater Saskatoon Chamber of Commerce. Check out upcoming dates and speakers at saskatoonchamber.com or follow the Chamber on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram using the handle @thechamberyxe.
Produced at Sound Lounge by T-Bone.